Good morning, everybody. Again, I'm gonna share today something I was thinking about, and I think these are two of the shortest sermons I have found in the Bible. I don't know if I can call them sermons, but if we look at people who responded to God's message and how they reacted, and they got closer to God, then yes, we can say these are sermons. And in one of them, it's just used one word. In another one, there's no words at all. But we're gonna get to that later. Just wanna share before that an experience I had recently. I was in a church, and a teenager just came to me, and he asked me, "Brother Sergio, what is God teaching you lately? Can you please share with me?" I'll be honest with you, I did not expect that. He did not ask me to share a sermon with him. He did not ask me what bright ideas you have. He told me, "Tell me, what is God doing in your life?" And it's not just him. The church that I'm talking about, a lot of people think like that and behave like that. And I think this is such a great approach we can have when it comes to God's word, when we have the relationship with God. The idea or the goal that we are gathering together here is not to impress each other. I'm guilty of that sin in my life when I was trying to impress people. I'm not sure if you struggle with that or not, but I think it's in our nature, like, to, you know, just to show the good side of things and, you know, and ignore that. And yeah, there is some common sense where we don't want to go in public with all the private things and so on. But because, you know, we are trying to, like, in other words, maybe like be hypocrites, like, you know, show things that are not real about our lives, or knowing that this is gonna harm somebody, not encourage them in any way, and we still do it. In my case, I felt guilty. That's why I had a period in my life when I closed my Facebook account. Because it was just a door, a platform where I could see myself, you know, like just showing things that, you know, just the bright side of things and boasting about, you know, where I was and what we did and so on. And I felt before the Lord that in a way I'm not encouraging anything, or, you know, so I had to like close that. So God is constantly trying to speak to us and teach us. And it's like we are constantly before the Lord. It's like we go to school. We never graduate from that. You remember when Paul was writing to Timothy, the second letter, and he's writing to him, and he, you know, says, "Yes, Timothy, I'm about to depart. Thank God I kept the faith. Now the Lord is, I'm going to meet the Lord. He's going to reward me." But also he mentions, he says, "Timothy, Christ came in the world to save everybody, all the sinners." And he said, do you know who's the first in line of those sinners? Me. So Paul tells me, or tells Timothy, and we learn from that, that he was in a constant relationship with Christ, and Christ was teaching him. And as close, I mean, the more we get to the Lord, like closer we get to the Lord, the more he wants to speak to us and teach us. And this is one of the promises of the new covenant we have, that God is going to teach us. He's going to speak to our hearts. In the old covenant, if we read the book of Judges, we see like a constant cycle. You know, when people were, you know, doing great, they obeying God, they following God's rules, and everything was okay in the country. And all of a sudden, they start to go astray, and they start to do things they're not allowed to do. And God sent some enemies, and they suffer. The people of God, Israel, was suffering, and God sends a prophet, a judge, to speak to them, to guide them, to teach them God's word. And then they repent, they come back to the Lord, and this constantly repeats in that book of Judges. They forget, and the Lord says, I'm going to make something new. I'm going to make something new. And he says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, the Lord is talking about like this new covenant he's going to make. He speaks about, you know, verse from verse 10, in chapter 8 in Hebrews, he talks about this new covenant. He says, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. So God says, I'm going to put my laws in your heart. I'm going to write them on your heart. Nobody has to repeat constantly, tell me, like, don't do this, don't do that. You know, God puts in me a new nature. And by nature, I hate to do that thing. I hate to tell lies, not because the Bible says if I lie, I go to hell. Because I don't like that. It's God's nature in me that starts to develop. And I don't want to do that, those things. I was surprised to hear that in my country where I was born, in Republic of Moldova, they have this new law. I heard somebody saying that he was driving the car under the influence of alcohol. So he lost the license, and they, you know, had to pay the fine. They took the license, and they told him, in order to get the license, you have to go to a place, a morgue, I think it's called, where after people die, they put them there. And so he was supposed to go there and assist the doctor who was doing the autopsy to dead people who died, especially because of accidents. And he says, this is the only way you can get your license back, if you go and watch this. And he said, thank God I was there. It was awful. I didn't like it. But this had such an impact on my life that I never, ever think to drink and drive again, drink alcohol and drive. So sometimes it's so like important for us, just if the Lord is going to show something to us. Before I see that sin in my life that's attractive, if I see the ugliness behind it, if I could just see all the demons that, you know, try to make me get angry and react in anger, if I could see the Lord that paid the full price, Christ died for my sins, and I could see that full picture, I'm not sure if I want to sin anymore. If we just see that. So God says, I'm going to put my laws in your heart. Write them on your heart. And it's not going to be just because, you know, I drive, you know, in my neighborhood and the speed limit is 25 miles per hour. And I see children playing outside. And I say, okay, I'm going to just, you know, respect the speed limit. I go 25 miles an hour and I just go by those kids. You know, it's dangerous. Sometimes I have to stop completely. That's because my heart tells me, what you're doing right now, it's dangerous. Even 5 miles an hour is too dangerous for this situation. So in the old covenant, people were just guided by the law. Okay, I don't care if you like it or if you don't, you have to bring your tithes to the temple. Bring everything, you know, the money and everything. In the new covenant, the Lord says, I want you to feel the way I feel. So next time you want to drink and drive, think that you can destroy your life and somebody else's life. Are you sure you want to do that? And that's how this guy was sharing, back to the example I used, you know, that he said, this had such a great impact in my life. Somebody could tell him 100 times more, don't drink and drive, it's dangerous. But next time you see something in real life that's very, has a very impact on our life, big impact. We have heard this morning about Paul writing to Thessalonians about, you know, loving each other. Do you know that when Paul was writing to them, he gave many like commands, encouraged them, and, you know, blessed them in the letter. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, brothers, he was thinking about writing some things, and he says, about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family. And Paul says, I was thinking to tell you about that. You know, you should, in other words, I say, man, if the other, you know, police department says, I'm not sure if we need the speed limit sign anymore in your neighborhood because everybody's just careful. You know, that's what Paul says. I'm not sure, why should I waste, you know, the ink and whatever just to tell you how important it is to love each other? And, you know, he says, God himself taught you that. It's such a great blessing, brothers and sisters, when we have a church that wants to be pleased to the Lord, everyone. I don't care what people think about certain things. For example, some people say, well, show me where it says in the Bible it's a sin to have a TV in your house. I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm not saying it's not a sin. I care about God's opinion about my life. If this is taking my time away, if this is departing me from the Lord, I don't care what it is. I want to stay away from that because God is teaching me and tells me this is not okay. God is writing His laws on my heart. Many times, I might sound kind to somebody. I might do the right thing, but with the wrong attitude. Do you know how many times I had to repent after preaching or sharing? I said, Lord, forgive me. I had the wrong attitude. Lord, forgive me. I kind of like myself when I preach. Lord, forgive me. You know, you could see somebody and just look at them and see an outside. But when we judge ourselves before the Lord, that's what Paul says. It's such a great blessing because otherwise we don't turn, you know, this, you'd be surprised to see or hear, like, I was part of some churches where we could have argue about is it sin or not sin to wear a tie? Or should we, you know, do this or other things, you know, like we look at them and we start to argue, prove each other wrong. How about we bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you think about it? What do you think about my dress? What do you think about the way I speak? What do you think about the way I spend my time? Lord, what do you think about me? And Paul did not say, you don't need teachers anymore. I'm going to resign. No, he was teaching them. You know, but at the same time, he says the Lord wants to teach us. He taught them how to love each other. The gift, every gift in the body of Christ is to lead us to being more mature in Christ. That's the purpose of a teacher. There's a balance. We need each other. You know, we need each other to share. God gave different gifts to the church, but at the same time, the goal is to like develop us and make us more mature. So after years and years of, you know, of following the Lord and listening to God's word, I don't have to go and ask, Brother Zach, what do you think? Is it sin for me to respond this way or, you know, react this way in traffic? And if I was connected to the Lord all this time, the Lord is going to speak to me, guide me, and everything will work in harmony and bring us closer to the Lord. As you know, I'm teaching one of my daughters to drive during this time. So my goal is not to make her dependent on me all the time. I started from like, you know, being scared of the car. She was like scared of the car, you know, and scared to drive. And my goal is as soon as I can, as safe as I can, to make her own judgment and be safe on the road for herself and for other people. So my goal is not just constantly watch her and just, you know, I'm going to keep an eye. I say, you know, I try to instruct and, you know, guide and teach. But at the same time, I'm not trying to be there always, like, you know, constantly reminding something. The Lord wants us to grow in maturity. The Lord wants to share His heart, His mind with us. That's why He says He put all these teachings in our heart. He writes them there so we can know His ways and His mind. So I'm going to share these two shortest, I think, sermons in the Bible that I found. In other words, I don't see any arguing, any trying to convince each other. It's just two people, two different people who react immediately to God's message. First of them is Mary. In the book of John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 16, we see that when Jesus rose from the dead, Mary went there to, they thought they're going to have to take care, you know, go there and, you know, take care of Jesus. When they got there, I'm going to read it. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they had put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Just one word. She did not know it was Jesus standing there. She thought it was the gardener. Jesus was missing from the tomb, and she was looking for him, and she did not know this was Jesus. And Jesus says, "Who are you looking for? What's going on?" And when Jesus just said one word, her name, Mary, she immediately realized that was Jesus. It sounded so familiar. She knew exactly, this is him. And she just was overwhelmed by that. Brothers and sisters, there are so many situations in life where I don't know how to behave. And somebody says, do this, somebody says, do that, somebody, you know, all this going on. And if I come before the Lord and I say, "Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, I'm looking for you. Guide me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, as a husband, as a wife, as a child. Lord, how should I behave in this situation?" And sometimes it's enough for the Lord just to say one word. Do you know that I can communicate with my wife or my children just by looking at them? When I was a child, I told my kids, like, my parents would call my name, and just by the tone of their voice, how they call my name, I knew if I was in trouble, or if there's a surprise waiting for me, or if we're going somewhere, or if I need something to do, or other things. Just my name, with the tone of the voice. So, Mary was so much time spent with Jesus. She was delivered from demons. She was in a miserable life before she met Jesus. And when Jesus spent time and taught people, and you know, they were closer to the Lord, and many times he called her by her name. I'm assuming that's how she was familiar with that voice. And in this situation, when she had that big desire to see Jesus, Jesus revealed himself, and she realized, this is Jesus. So in my life, I learned from this that if I have the greatest desire to follow Jesus, if I want to behave godly in a certain situation, God is going to look at me, and sometimes he just talk to me. When he talks, everybody can understand. I have the difficulty of explaining sometimes some things to a very young child. But God says, he can speak in such a way that even Samuel, who was a little child in the temple, could hear his voice, and he could spend time with Nicodemus, a very a Bible teacher that could not understand what that means. Does it mean to be born again? And God, Jesus, was explaining to him. So God can find ways to speak to us, and he is not like we're trying to convince somebody, this is the right thing, this is, you know, this is the truth. God looks at us, and sometimes just by saying our name, we feel like encouragement, we feel maybe rebuke, or maybe feel God wants us to do certain things, but we have to have the greatest desire in our heart, like Mary had, to see Jesus. When we come to the church, I try to hear God's voice. When I hear the message, when I'm looking at the songs we're singing, when I look at you, when we share something, you know, besides the smiles, you know, and everything else, I say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me today? And many times, even just by looking at some of you, I learn. Even just by spending time together, you know, it's just, sometimes it's just enough. When my children were younger, if they misbehave somewhere, I just look at them and just, you know, if I just tell, you know, her name, the It was enough. They knew how they had to do. So many times we just need, brothers and sisters, the desire to see, Lord, I am looking for you. Amen. There's so many things around. Some people say this is okay to do, this is not okay to do. This is the right church, this is the wrong church. Lord, what do you say about my life? Remember Zacchaeus? Somebody says, well, Jesus came to spend time in this sinful, I mean, this man, he was a, you know, tax collector and, you know, a miserable guy and so on. But Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. He wanted to hear, Lord, what do you say? Some neighbors say you're great, and somebody says, you know, you're like this, you're, and so on. Lord, what do you say? That's what's important to us. May the Lord help us to hear that. The second shortest sermon that I think was in the Bible. This one, we don't even see or hear words. This one is about Peter, and we find that in Luke chapter 22, verses 59 through 62. Jesus was arrested. He was there in the priest's house. And the Bible says, about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter just betrayed Jesus. Jesus told him, Peter, this is going to happen. And when he was there, sitting there, somebody before the Lord looked at him. You know, the servant woman was looking at him and says, man, you have been with the Lord. And Peter started to deny, and he started, you know, to prove them somehow, you know, like convince them, I'm not one of them. I don't know him. And just as Jesus was looking at him, straight at him, didn't say anything, didn't point the finger or anything. Just look at him. And Peter knew exactly what just happened. Just like I told you before, we can communicate just by looking at each other. How much more the Lord, when he looks at us, you know, and so many times, you know, we don't need to hear from the Lord. Like, you know, long sermons, you know, it's our big, like, selfish life, big ego, it's like a fence that blocks us from hearing or seeing the Lord. But he wants to speak to us. He wants to share. Remember Elijah? I was always confused them. I'm sorry. It's just in Romanian it sounds different. But when he was running from the Isabel, Jezebel, thank you. When he was running and he was like, you know, afraid of his life, and he just says, Lord, I'm the only one in the country. They want to kill me. And the Lord came to him, didn't, you know, preach to him. Yes, he spoke to him, you know, but the Lord gave him food and said, rest. Many times we just need to hear that from the Lord. Just, you know, like just like a parent watches the child going to sleep. You know, we're not going just, you know, over, you know, repeating and telling them this and that and everything else. You know, we just look at them. Many times we just need to see that, brothers and sisters, how the Lord is looking at us and he loves us. Peter, when he was confronted by people, he tried to justify, tried to deny and do all this stuff. When he confronted by Christ, even just by looking, he knew exactly what he had to do. So I think it's very important for us to constantly have the Lord in our sight. You know, David says in Psalm 16, verse 8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. I constantly keep my eyes on the Lord. Paul says, I want to know Christ crucified among you. I want you guys to know that always, constantly be aware of that. Christ is there watching for you. I'm going to share these two verses from Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. These are very special for my life because the Lord has spoken to me in a couple of years ago when I was in a very in a situation where I had to make a decision. I didn't know what to do, how to proceed with my future plans and everything else. So I was sitting in the room and I just opened the Bible and I wanted to hear something from the Lord. This is my only time, the closest that I could hear almost physically. I had the impression somebody was in the room reading this to me. As I read these verses, I heard like a physical voice. I'm not trying to sound spiritual or impress you. This was something special for my life at that moment, as if I heard somebody in that room reading this to me. And it says like this: I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will advise you with my eyes upon you. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. So the Lord spoke to me so personally. I will instruct, teach, and advise you, guide you. And I was so, so encouraged by this, brothers and sisters. The Lord wants to speak to us. And He says, don't be like a horse. You know, I have seen a lot of horses. In my country, where I was born, there was more horses than cars in the town where I grew up. So I saw a lot of them. So they have, for the kids maybe they don't know, there's a piece of metal you put in the mouth of the horse. You know, they have big mouths and big lips. So you put that right here. And on each side, there's like little holes. And there's like a string, or I don't know how you call those. What is it?
The rings.
Yeah, rings on the side. And there's like strings that attach to those rings. And it goes all the way to the guy who is guiding the horse. So when you want the horse to go left, you pull to the left. And this metal just pushes right here and feels pain. And the horse has no choice than to go to the left. You want him to go to the right, you pull to the right. If you want to stop, which ones do you pull? Which strings?
Both.
And he feels pain. And that's how he learns. So God says, don't be like that. I don't want to discipline you or make you feel pain when you go left or right. But I want you to know that this is serious. It's like me trying to tell my child, don't run into the street. A car is going to kill you. And I tried somehow to convince him. And maybe from 1 to 10, somehow I applied a pain of 1 to him. Some, I don't know how. But I make him feel a bit of pain. I said, hey, and he doesn't like it. But he doesn't know, or she doesn't know, that if she goes right there, a car can kill somebody. So I tried to like discipline and guide them. And says, Lord, says the same way. Don't be like a horse. Oh, Lord, I don't want to, you know, man, like a lot of people say, I don't commit adultery because, you know, God is going to punish me. No, I don't want to do that because I love the Lord. I love my wife. Or, you know, oh, if I steal, they might cut me and I can end up in jail or stuff like that. You know, God says, you know, don't be like that. In other words, I don't want to force you to love me or to obey my commands. I want to teach you. I want to speak with you. I want you know, to see that every single command in the Bible is for your benefit. Every promise in the Bible is for your benefit. So that's what God says. I want to do that for you. And sometimes we feel that pain, brothers and sisters. Yes, after we go astray, where we do something wrong, we feel the pain, the discipline. But even that is for God to discipline, and He loves us. Paul is telling to Corinthians, he says, you know, godly sorrow brings repentance. It leads to repentance. It leads to salvation. That's the only sorrow we can say is from the God, is from God, is the godly. You know, whenever we are feeling something like in our lives, you know, we lose peace over something. We don't feel comfortable doing something. God is trying to lead us towards Him. God will never bring condemnation to our hearts. When God speaks to us, He never brings condemnation. That's from Satan. And the Lord said, you know, my sheep, they hear my voice. So I want to tell you today, whatever situation you are in, I don't think any of us here messed up as bad as Peter did. We did not deny Jesus Christ. But even if some of you or somebody did that, even Peter had a chance and Jesus was looking for him because he was sincere. He was trying honestly to follow the Lord, but he couldn't do it. So if you see some obstacles in your life, there's a mountain in my life I cannot overcome. And I say, Lord, only you can give me victory over this. I wish I would trust God as much as my children trust me many times. Because I go to bed sometimes worrying about stuff, and they go to bed and they know mom and dad will take care of me tomorrow. And I repent about that because that's a sin. Unbelief is a very serious sin. And I say, Lord, help me. But I never feel condemned about that because the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So brothers and sisters, whenever the Lord is speaking to us, whenever the Lord is looking at us, He will never bring condemnation. He wants to bring us closer to Him. That's His intent. That's what He wants to do. So I don't know what we are facing, each one of us, but I know God knows every situation in our lives. Even like Mary, she messed up so bad with her life, but she followed Christ. She was looking for Him, and she knew that Christ always, He did not like, you know, He was not treating people like, you know, superficial. He said, oh, never mind, it's all right with this and that. Whenever somebody sinned, He said, yes, this is a sin, this is serious, but I have died for that sin. This is the part that Satan never is going to tell us. He's going to show us just the mess we did. He's not going to show us the cross where Christ paid for that sin. I don't want my children to live in condemnation. I don't care what they do, how they mess up. You know, there's always something we can do to fix whatever they did. I don't want they ever to doubt if they are my children or not. Like, oh, I'm not sure. I got it. Maybe, I don't know. I did bad in school today. I'm not sure if I'm, you know, I'm your daughter anymore. How, you know, offensive this is going to be for a parent to hear a child say that. How do you think God is looking at us when we doubt His love and His compassion for us? And the Lord says, you know, the only reason I'm looking at you, and when Peter, you know, he realized what he did was so serious, he gave up. He says, I'm done. I'm just going away. And he went outside and he was crying and he was so bitter. He was like, Lord, what did I just do? And the Bible says he went fishing. Back to the old business. This is too high standard for me. I cannot leave this life of a disciple. And he got the surprise of his life. When one morning Christ was waiting there on the shore. And it was the most appropriate question for Peter to ask. He says, Lord, can you give me one more chance? But it was the other way around. Christ asked him, Peter, do you still love me? Only God can say that and do that. I want to say, after whatever you messed up this week, for me to love as Christ loved the church, for me to love my wife is a high standard. My wife is lovable. I don't know if that's a word in English. She's easy to be loved. But all of us have this sinful nature, and we'll be surprised what mess it can make in our lives. But the standard is high, and God wants to help us. So I see Jesus coming to me and says, can you give me one more chance to manifest this in your life? Not with your power, not with your abilities. Jesus didn't say, Peter, you're going to try better this time, and you know, you're going to, you know, deny me just in front of one people, not so many. No. Because Peter waited for the Holy Spirit to come upon him. And after that, nobody had to tell him. God was there watching him, empowering him, giving them the boldness and everything else. So if you look at the Bible today and you see things that are too high for you to live up to, this new covenant, for me it's high. It's high standard. I say, Lord, I want to live the way you want me to. And I come before him and I say, Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. And sometimes it's enough, just one word, or just Jesus looking at me. So brothers and sisters, what is God teaching you lately? I hope we'll discover His love and His mercy. And whenever we're going to share with other people, we're going to meet other people, we're going to say, this God is so awesome. I follow Him not because I feel pain if I go astray, but I just feel my best friend. He wants my best for my life. And I was convinced so many times that the worst sin and the worst enemy in my life is myself, my selfish nature, Satan, and the worldly system. And my best friend is God. He wants to teach me. He wants to guide me. He wants to watch over me and over you too. God bless you all.